So this is talking with Professor Bernie Mills on 25th August 76 at Grenoble, sitting in the grass with the cars going by. Okay. Could you tell me a little bit about your educational background and what work you were doing before you got into radio astronomy?
Perhaps better wait until the car goes.
Road passes, yeah.
It's going to stop here. As it's everywhere. Well, okay, I'll just talk, you probably hear. Perhaps I can start with graduating from Sydney University as an electrical engineer in 1942, end of 1942, when I joined CSIRO, Division of Radio Physics, to work, along with everyone else, on radar. I became involved particularly in the receiver section, receiver development, and in electronics and display work generally. Mm-hmm. And I worked on several systems and became increasingly interested in some of the basic design of electronic systems, and developed quite a lot of some of the radar systems which were being made in Australia at that time, the receiver and display sections. At the end of the war, we diversified efforts quite a bit, and I became interested in applying radar techniques to linear accelerators.
I see.
And in fact, at this time, initial experimental work had been done just hooking a magnetron into a resonant cavity to see what could happen, and a few hundred keV were obtained of electrons. So I joined the Valve Lab, which had been formed then, in an attempt to build to develop this idea into something which would be more practical than this initial experiment.
This is CSIRO?
Yes, this was CSIRO. The aim was, in fact, to provide a working X-ray tube, pulsed X-ray tube. And I got that going, getting about 1,000,000 volts. And this was the first practical application of this idea of applying a magnetron to a resonant cavity. And developed a lot of the basic ideas involving stabilization of resonant cavities in a pulsed mode.
Did you know about the radio astronomy group that was forming at that time?
At that time it wasn't. This was immediately after the war.
I see.
And I became interested then in the physics of things more, as I began to take an interest in high energy physics, because other people in the group were also interested in this. And this was chopped off in 46, end of 46, because it was obviously too expensive in Australia. So I was at a loose end. I started up with a sort of getting into digital computing, which was just starting in those days. F.C. Williams had produced a digital computer in England, and we were playing with the idea in Australia, so I just fitted with my background, so I played with that for a while. But then I was picked up as a TB case and put off for 6 months.
I see.
I overcame it completely, but then that left me with a free field. And in this time, radio observations in radio astronomy had really got going, and John Bolton had found some point sources not identified
then. This is 47 or something.
Yeah, that's right. And of course, Pawsey had observed bursts from the sun, and all looked very interesting. So that was my introduction. I came on.
Let me just ask before we go further: did you hear about Hayes' discovery of solar emission, or any other discoveries of solar radio noise during the war?
Yes, we'd heard of the bursts of radiation from the sun, which caused radar interference.
Right.
And Pawsey was in fact quite interested in this and had done an experiment in those early days, as someone else may have told you of this.
During the war,
where he stuck a simple parabolic reflector out of the window and looked at the sun and saw nothing, because it was at 10 centimeters.
I see.
But this was really That was the stimulation, I think. Fawzi became interested, and then at the end of the war, he started things right. off.
I gather that there was just no time to try to do it a second time or follow it. It was just
No.
Just a few hours.
Too busy, right. but he right. just looked and saw nothing.
Because as you know, Southworth did detect the sun, but he probably had more sensitive receivers. Would that be true, you think?
Had
the state of the art at Bell
Labs.
Oh, he was at 10.3 and 1 centimeters.
Yes.
But he had state of the art sort of receivers.
Well, I would think they would have been comparable. We were in very close contact with the Americans in our equipment, and all the microwave stuff came direct from America.
I see.
That wartime.
Do you know of any possible record of that that experiment? Is it mentioned in any?
Don't think so.
Yeah.
Just a few of us knew about it. Just trying to think. Frank Kerr might remember.
I think he did mention it to me. It's been several years since I interviewed him.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah, I think he probably did. Mm. Okay, so coming back into the field fresh.
Yes,
it wasn't called radio astronomy then. What was it called?
Oh, I can't really remember. I think we were a cosmic noise group and a solar noise group, if I remember correctly.
Okay.
So I had the whole field. Everyone was thinking very hard what they could do. There was very little instrumentation immediately available. There were lots of questions. And I first became involved on the sun by observing a solar eclipse. You've probably got the paper
there. That's Christensen, Yapsley, and Mills, 49, the publication.
Yes, you'll have heard more details about that from Christensen, probably, because he was the main person to
organize. I haven't talked to him yet, so maybe you could just tell me about what you did.
Well, there was a partial eclipse in the southern part of Australia, extending down to Tasmania, and what we did were to have, I can't remember, there were two or three stations now, but I looked after the local station.
Right.
And Christensen and Yabsley went off, or whether they had one or two stations, I'm not sure, tracking it at a different place further down south, so that we got intersecting arcs.
Oh, yeah.
And by that means, as the sun was occulted, we were able to get these separately placed arcs on it and locate the positions of radio emission, and we did find they corresponded to sunspots.
Now, was this before the MacCready, Fawzi, and Payne-Scott?
No, that was after it. They had detected this big burst from a sunspot.
Right.
But the question was, what happened at high frequencies? This was quite a high frequency.
This was 50 centimeters. Yeah.
Yes,
right.
That's right. Well, in those days, that was a very high frequency.
Right.
And the question was, what happened there? And we found that we had quite steady emission at this frequency from these sunspots. And I think that was quite an advance at the time.
Right, but the abstract said that you did find a few bright spots which had an effective brightness temperature of 5 million Kelvin, so there must have been a little bit of activity.
There must have been, as we know it now.
Right.
In those days, of course, we had no clue what was going on.
Now, things like this partial eclipse, was the group sophisticated enough? I'm not sure that's the right word. To be looking ahead to find out when there were eclipses, or was it just someone reading the newspaper and said,
I don't know. This occurred